There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. He set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and he went to his father." This particular parable is one of three parables that Jesus told at an occasion where he was having dinner with a large crowd of people. You know, Jesus had a lot of followers who would follow him around. And this large crowd of people included Pharisees, who were the most holy of holy in the Jewish population, and the teachers of the law. And it also included sinners, and worst of all, at least in this culture, the tax collectors. So they had all these people around. And during this time when Jesus is having dinner with this large crowd of people, the Pharisees and the tax collectors were sneering the whole time, thinking, why is Jesus even wasting his time and wasting this food with all these sinners and tax collectors and people that don't deserve his attention? My goodness, I mean, the attention should go to those of us who've kept the law and are always holy and doing the right things, not these people that continually and oftentimes very visibly are doing the wrong things. So Jesus takes this opportunity to tell three parables meant for the entire crowd, but with some amount of intent towards what the Pharisees were doing and reacting. So there's three parables. And each one of these parables has a similar theme. There's something lost. There's a search or a waiting or an attempt to find it. And then when it's found, there's big celebration. Now, you know the other parables. There's the parable of the lost sheep. There's 100 sheep that a shepherd's got, and one of them gets lost. And that one is so important to him that he leaves the 99 other sheep out in the field, and he searches all around to try and find that one and bring him back, because that one is really important. There's another parable of a lost coin. A widow has 10 silver coins, and she loses one of the 10. Now, she's still got 9, right? But she loses one of the 10 somewhere in the house. So she turns everything upside down in the house. She sweeps, she moves the furniture around, she lights all kinds of lanterns to get as much light as she could, and she's overjoyed when she finds the other coin. And then there's this parable. And we talked about in this parable, the parable of the lost son, or the parable of the prodigal son, about a son who leaves. He goes away. And he goes away with his father's money. And he spends it all, and then he realizes what a mistake he's made. Now, in each one of the two preceding parables, Jesus explained what the meaning of the parables was. In the parable of the sheep, he says, you know, the celebration is about the fact that there's more rejoicing in heaven for one who repents than for 99 who don't need to. So, you know, repentance being turning back towards God. In the case of the coin, he says, there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. So we're starting to see a theme here. Now, this third parable, he doesn't explain. He doesn't say why the celebration is important, but I think he demonstrates it. You heard the portion of this parable that I read tonight. It's fairly dark, right? It's a son turning away from his father. Let me tell you some of the particular things that were particularly dark about that we might not get in our culture. By asking for his inheritance before his father died in Jewish society, that was tantamount to saying, "Dad, I wish you were dead, because you're pretty much, your worth is done. You know, give me my inheritance now. I'm done with you." He was cutting the ties, cutting the cord, and he was forcing his father basically into a bankruptcy position because his estate was everything he owned. So he gave everything he owned, split it between the two sons. So he was left with the charity of the sons, basically, is what he was left with. And the younger son took his half, didn't leave it for dad, didn't leave anything for dad, took it all and wasted it, leaving the older son back to really be the manager of the state now and to take care of dad, because dad had given everything away. So that's one thing. The second thing is, who did this guy go to work for when he was out of money? He went to work for a citizen of another country, okay? So, and the task that he was being given was to feed the pigs. Now, in Jewish society, pigs were unclean animals. It was just about as bad a job as you could imagine. If you've watched the TV show Dirty Jobs, the guys that clean out the sewers and all kinds of other things, this was for a Jew, this would have been a terribly, terribly insulting kind of role to be in charge of feeding pigs, okay? And worse yet, the pigs were eating better than he was. So that really brought him to his senses. But if I were to just stop there with this story and the repentance of the son coming back to his father, I'd be cutting short what really Jesus intended with this story. Because there's more to the story, as you remember from Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. I'm going to read to you now the rest of the story, the rest of the chapter. "But while he was still a long way off, the father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, and now he's alive again. He was lost, and now he's found.' So they began to celebrate. Now, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called to one of the servants and said, 'What's going on?' 'Your brother's come back,' he replied, 'and your father's killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' Well, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who squandered your property and with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and he's found.'" So there's three main characters in the story, right? Not just the father and the younger son. There's a third character. There's this older son. And the younger son repented, and he was forgiven. Yeah, he sinned. He made mistakes. He literally walked away, which is what sin is. It's literally walking away from what you know God wants for you, and you walk in a different direction. You just kind of ignore God and say, "Oh, wish you weren't here," and go do your own thing. Repentance is literally coming back to God. And that's really what happened in this story. This is a very visual way of thinking about sin and repentance. So the son came back and he repented and he was welcomed by the father. Okay. The older son, what happened? The older son, he didn't repent. He was angry. He was showing ingratitude. I mean, he had been given all this stuff by his father. He was showing jealousy. He was really angry about the whole situation because he thought it just wasn't fair, which sounds an awful lot like how the Pharisees were treating the sinners and the tax collectors in this gathering. So clearly this was a point made or attempt to be made to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law to make them aware that they're misbehaving. They're actually sinning by being ingracious, by being jealous, by being angry about things that other people are getting. They're ignoring the fact that the Father loves not just them, but everyone. And the Father welcomes back not just them, but everyone. It's really an important lesson for us because in this story, if you haven't figured it out yet, the Father is a representative of God. And God will have those of us who are walking the earth from time to time walk in the opposite direction. We'll sin, we'll get away from him, we'll forget him, we'll ignore him intentionally, unintentionally. But the important part of the lesson is when we repent, when we say we want to return to you, God, and we want to return to what you want from us and for us, he is gladly welcoming us back. In fact, if you didn't notice in the story, this father ran to his younger son. He met him halfway. He didn't make the son even come the whole way back. And that's one of the things that I think is really neat in this whole prodigal son story is the father doesn't even necessarily wait for us to make it all the way back to him. If he sees that we're coming back, he's willing to come and meet us halfway and forgive us and show us grace. It took tremendous forgiveness for this father in the story to forgive a younger son who literally had spent, you know, what this father had spent half his lifetime earning. It took tremendous love for his son to do that. And that's the kind of love and grace that our Father shows us. We need to share in forgiving other people. That's the final message here. Yeah, the Lord's Prayer talks about forgiving others because we all need to be forgiven as well. There's a tendency among a lot of people to be judgmental and say, you know, they don't deserve grace or they don't deserve forgiveness or they don't deserve love. And that can be true in families, in society, in jobs, you know, wherever you turn. And the thing to think about is, if any of us look at ourselves and say, do we deserve forgiveness and grace? We don't. We really don't. It's by the grace of a loving God that we get forgiven. And we need to extend that same forgiveness. God gives this to us as an example. He wants us to be forgiving of other people, and not just of other people, but of ourselves. There's an awful lot of us that deal with a lot of stuff that we carry around with us, that mistakes that we've made and things that we think are, you know, terrible about ourselves. God forgives that, and he wants you to forgive that. He wants you to forgive yourself as well. So I want to close out with a verse from 1 John. 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he, meaning God, is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he wipes the slate clean. All right, let's pray. Gracious Father, every day you reach out for us, and many times we're running away from you. We pursue the world, which will never satisfy us, instead of reaching out for you for your love. God, you are our loving Father. We ask for your forgiveness for our sins and our selfish desires. We give to you all our mistakes and our fears and our doubts, and they melt away in your waiting arms. Thank you, Lord, for the grace and forgiveness we don't deserve, but which you freely give when we return to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.